Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy start of Packers OTA season to one and all. That's right. The Green Bay Packers have advanced their offseason program into the organized team activity portion of the proceedings. We will get our first look in via the media tomorrow on Wednesday. We'll hear from Matt LaFleur. We'll see coverage of practice. And I have some do's and don'ts when it comes to how to consume said content. I posted that earlier today here on the channel. I hope you'll check that out. One guy I think, you know, a lot of fans have either written off or have probably an unhealthy amount of hope around is Marshawn Lloyd. No doubt entering this offseason, I felt pretty sure, especially late in the draft, the Packers would add at least one more body to that running back room. And I know Josh Jacobs is going to be counted on to be the workhorse, no doubt about it. The Packers made the decision to bring back Chris Brooks and let Emmanuel Wilson walk, which I have a little theory about. And then Marshawn Lloyd, a former, you know, significant draft pick who the Packers apparently will be counting on to be that change of pace back, so to speak, to Josh Jacobs. And I did like Ben Searman's quote a couple weeks ago when the assistants met with the media and he talked about, you know, I have hope, but I've had hope before. And I do think it is very much one day at a time for Marshawn Lloyd. And I don't doubt for the moment that the Packers have faith that some of the other guys they have in that room, some of the kind of practice squad types, could be counted on to step up if necessary. But I don't think that they're dismissing Marshawn Lloyd as a legit threat in this offense. He can provide them with a whole lot of upside if he's, of course, able to stay on the field. I think we'll all be holding our breath, especially those first couple days in pads when we get out there at Ray Nitschke Field for training camp. But up until then, and even through then, into the season, Marshawn Lloyd, just take it one day at a time. You don't have to prove anything to anybody on each and every down. Just do your job, everything within your capability, and we'll see how the chips fall, so to speak. I think Brewers fans are kind of going through this with Garrett Mitchell right now, right? Mitchell has missed so much time in his young career. But so far, early on in the season, good returns. I think he's having a very promising start to the season for the Brewers. I think that's what you have to, you know, hope the path you see here from Marshawn Lloyd in 2026. Although I will say this, as far as my theory, when it comes to keeping around Chris Brooks in favor, you know, over Emmanuel Wilson, that feels one of two things. It could be, you know, the group together saying, like, yes, we know Chris Brooks, clearly the strength of his game is in pass protection, valuing keeping our $50 million quarterback upright, the face of the franchise. We want to make sure he's protected. That would make sense, right? But I also wonder if there's a bit of either, again, a collective here, or maybe Brian Gutekunst saying, it's about time we start throwing the ball a little bit more, especially on first down, especially on early downs. You know, it might not be the world's worst thing if the coaching staff has Chris Brooks up next to turn to instead of an Emmanuel Wilson, instead of a guy who probably know much more for the way he totes the rock rather than how he keeps the quarterback upright and or is able to be utilized in the passing game. Now, I suspect, again, this is probably a group conversation with Matt LaFleur, but I have to say, hopefully, keeping Chris Brooks around does portend, yeah, we're going to lean into passing the ball a little bit more because we've got a guy back there who we trust implicitly to keep Jordan Love clean. I'm just saying. Going to be interesting to see how that develops over the course of the 2026 season. It's going to be interesting to see what's going on with all of you here in the comments section. Thank you so much for coming on out, chatting it up with Packers fans worldwide. Thank you for your patience. I'm sorry I couldn't be with you yesterday, but it's great to be here with you guys today at the start of OTAs. Hope you're all doing well. Before we get going, you know, I got to give a shout out to our friends over at Ticket King. Ticket King has been based in Wisconsin since 1992. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of these national companies. Use the company based right across from Lambeau Field. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link in the description of this video. Speaking of which, I really quickly want to address this. There's this kid on Twitter who's like begging SeatGeek to help him out with a situation where he had tickets for the NBA Finals that he purchased in advance that then SeatGeek essentially ripped away and said, oh, well, you can have these tickets instead, and then ripped those away and refunded him the original amount, now are reselling the tickets he had for like thousands of dollars more, and said, oh, here's a 20% off coupon for you to go, you know, get tickets for the Finals. Which, of course, now he'll have to sit probably beyond nosebleed, right? You never have this kind of problem with Ticket King, people, ever, ever in your life. Because you know why? They have offices where you can call and actually talk to a human. It's a perfect example of why you should never, ever use these national jamokes for your Packers ticket needs. Use Ticket King, based in Wisconsin since 1992. That's who you want. Of course, I also give a shout out to our good friends over at ThetaCare. Don't let pain sideline your golf game this season. Stop into ThetaCare Orthopedic Walk-In Care in Appleton, open 7 days a week. They'll help you get back in the game quickly. Learn more at thetacare.org. Okay, folks, what's going on? How we doing? People living it up. We got Joe. What's going on, man? Watching Lloyd will be like watching being a nervous parent watching their kid play tackle football for the first time. Yeah, as I said at the top there, it will be hold your breath time, I would suspect, every time he gets hit, at least initially, right? I mean, the fact that he went down the very first day of pads last year is somewhat sad, and doesn't help that, you know, his teammate then, Nate Hobbs, kind of went after him a bit low. I mean, right after being told, hey, you got to help each other out here a little bit. Yeah, you don't love it. You don't love to see it. But I think once we get past that initial nervousness, he'll be playing football and he'll be fine. It'll be great. Let me see. What else we got here, folks? Guitar Ted, what's up? Pulling for Marshawn Lloyd is like lighting a cherry bomb. It could be spectacular. Or you could blow your fingers off. Damn. I mean, I'm not going to say you're wrong, but hopefully it was a little bit better than that. A much better experience. Soder is on board. I love it. Throw the damn ball. That's right. Why run when you can win? I love that both Soder and I have come full circle here. You know, 2011, it was why run when you can win. And then you get to like 2019, 2020, it's like run the damn ball. Now we're back to why run when you can win. Let's go, baby. Spread it out. Let Jordan Love go to town. I'm all in. Kerry Bishop, thanks so much for checking out the stream on Facebook. Appreciate you, man. Thank you. Of course. There has to be some kind of balance between running and throwing the ball. Have to keep the other defenses on their toes. No question about it. I've talked about it many, many times. One of the best things about the running game is how it helps your quarterback. I completely agree. Just saying, it could potentially, maybe just a little bit, move on towards the side where you have Jordan Love throwing it a tad more than you do, you know, the offense leaning on the running game. Just a touch, especially on early downs. As Bill Walsh said, first down, best down to throw the football on. And look, I think Matt LaFleur has done a nice job of having a semblance of balance throughout his time in Green Bay, but certainly over the last couple of years as Jordan's acclimated to being a starter in the league. But, you know, Jordan's shown that he can handle it. He can handle the load if they want to lean into throwing the football a little bit more. But you're not wrong as far as, yes, keeping the defenses honest, so to speak, letting them think, okay, I've got to take these initial steps because it looks like play action, or they've done this outside zone quite a bit, and now all of a sudden you're booting out the other way and there's a pretty easy throw, delineated read for Jordan Love out the backside. You know, not absolutely agree. The running game is important. I'm just saying, you have a quarterback now who's entering his fourth year as a starter and is ready to carry the load, so to speak, on offense in a way where when he was transitioning into being the starter, it made sense to lean into the running game, right? I mean, it would also help if you could actually, you know, move people up front in the running game with your offensive line, which is something they couldn't do last year to save their lives, you know, and they barely survived in pass protection, but they at least did that a bit more consistently than they did anything in the run game. If they can get a little better, just a little better in the run game, then you could make the case that, yeah, it makes sense to stick with this mostly 50-50 split. But if you're consistently sitting in second and nine, third and seven, because you're not doing jack shit on the ground on first and second consistently, man, don't keep banging your head into a wall. That just makes no sense. What else we got here, folks? Bill, how are you, sir? Don't worry about Lloyd. Dobbs is nowhere in sight. That's the sad part, right? Man, but of course, it wasn't just the hit from Dobbs. The kid has had a litany. I mean, he's had like seven or maybe eight injuries, depending how you would classify things, plus the appendicitis. You know, it has just not been a great stretch to open the career of one Marshawn Lloyd. But hopefully, that's all behind him now. I always talk about this, but I do find it a bit instructive when last summer Brian Gutekunst made the comparison to Mike Flanagan from back in the day, who another guy who was so banged up, almost they almost cut bait, but and he almost retired due to injuries early on, but they kept him around, and you know, lo and behold, he came in and was a very dependable starter for them for a number of years, you know. And Brian making that kind of correlation signals to me that they are going to be extremely patient, going to continue to be extremely patient with Marshawn Lloyd. Pack Daddy. Lloyd is a lottery ticket whose prize is another lottery ticket. I know a lot of people have made that type of argument. Can't say you're completely wrong, but I think the prize is production. That would be the hope, right? Bill, how dare you spell it wrong? That's okay. E4, what's going on, man? Anybody ever mess with the opposing QB's helmet audio, playing a song they can't stand, telling them a bad joke? Not that I've ever heard. I've heard of, you know, communication systems going out in rival stadiums, but never like other audio being played into it. Now, that doesn't mean it's never happened, but I've never heard quarterback talk about it or seen it reported anywhere. But hey, man, if it has happened, I'm sure it was in New England. Let's put it that way. Come on now. Oh, Brandy, this is a very good question. Nags, without Kraft for the first few and Dobbs gone, who do you see those third and eight moving the chains throws go to? I would contend that we probably are going to see Kraft out there in week one. I know he is coming back from an injury, and I know people are concerned, but I suspect he'll be there for that type of third and eight throw. I think he'll start week one. Now, don't, you know, quote me on that. It's not a report, but that's guesswork on my part. I think he'll be on a pitch count. I don't think he's going to play a full complement for the first couple weeks, right? But I suspect he'll be available week one. Now, that said, if he is on a pitch count and you know, for whatever reason, can't have him out there on third and eight, and you don't have Romeo Dobbs, it is going to be fascinating to see how or where Jordan Love leans, right? Who he's going to be looking for in those situations. I got to suspect this Jaden Reed is probably your best bet. You know, it's no secret that he fed Reed big time. Anytime he's played with him, really, but certainly a couple years ago when Reed was out there for the majority of the time, I think he's very much a security blanket for Jordan. Probably wasn't as prominent when you had Romeo Dobbs, especially in that backside slant that they love to execute on third down. But I do think Jaden Reed is probably your next best bet in that regard. But we'll see. I'm sure they'll try to spread it around so teams can't focus on somebody, blah, blah, blah. Maybe you'll see some stuff out of the backfield with the running back, like Chris Brooks, etc. But I suspect, you know, third and medium, got to have it. I would look at Jaden Reed as being a bit of a security blanket in that regard. What else we got here, folks? Bill, thanks again, man. I'm mostly going to be tuned in with reports on the O-line. It's time we get it together. So many concerns. Butkus, prove us wrong. No doubt about it. we've talked about it all offseason, and we'll probably talk about it all summer and into the fall. It is all about the offensive line. The offense will only go as far as they are able to compete up front on a consistent basis, week in and week out. And yeah, man, they're certainly going to be, I would say, extra scrutiny because of the fact that almost everything was kept in place, coaching staff-wise, scheme-wise, almost player-wise. We know we'll have a different left tackle, but yes, that play up front must be better and way more consistent. That is certainly going to be scrutinized throughout the season. Joe, thanks again, man. If throwing the ball more forces defenses to go more light, does that help Jacobs, or is he better with 2 to 3 tight ends against the base defense? Yeah, I know the idea would be, yeah, we want to get out there with big bodies and move people. They've just never seen anything from the Packers to suggest that they can operate that way, right? I would contend and be in agreement with your kind of point here that I think, yeah, like the more you try to spread things out and get some natural lanes opened for Josh, the better it could be. The problem is a lot of that stuff takes place from the shotgun, right? We've seen at least attempt a lot of that stuff from the gun. Now, it doesn't mean it can't be effective. It certainly can. We've seen them be successful at times, but just hasn't been consistent. I don't care if he's under center. I don't care if it's in the gun. I don't care how they do it. They have just got to be more consistent when they do it. However that operation works, if they want to button it up with 2-3 tight ends and run the ball, great, but they have to be able to do it with consistency. They just tried everything last year and really couldn't crack that code, right? So, yes, in theory, you're not wrong, but it's all well and good to have a, quote, light box, but it doesn't matter if you're not getting off the double team in time to get that blitzing linebacker who's triggering because he knows this is the call you like on third down, and he's, you know, walloping Jacobs in the backfield. All the, quote, light box in the world ain't going to stop that, ain't going to help. You've got to be consistent. You've got to be on your technique. Because that's the thing. If they know it's coming even, you can still block it up. You just got to be on your P's and Q's and be consistently on point technique-wise and assignment-wise. Something we saw very little of last year. Carrington, what's going on, man? Seen a lot of focus on McManus's poor playoff game, and that's really unfair. Never forget, he also missed one in the Eagles playoff game. Eyes on smack. I ain't going to lie, you had me in the first half there. Yeah, it's never great when in the biggest moments of the season, your kicker is going wide right or left. So I do think that undoubtedly was probably the driver for Goody's decision to move on. You know, because look, he did have some really good moments and he did have stretches where he was money. Like, I'm not going to say automatic, but he was really good. But you miss big kicks and big moments and do it multiple times, yeah, it's going to get you a pink slip. No question about it. Soder, how are you, buddy? Bears fried the visitors' heated benches in Chicago. Put Bears still suck on loop behind the visitors' bench on 10-11. I know. I remember talking about that on Watch Party for the playoff game. Like, are they going to have heat this time around? But I'm with you, man. Play it 24/7 as they walk into the Paper Valley Hotel in Appleton. Should have it playing through the lobby, all throughout the hallways. I mean, that sounds like fair game to me. Hey, Jim, if Banks knows his blocking assignment, that would help. I don't think he was terribly bad when it came to, you know, being assignment sure or anything. He didn't hold much. I mean, lots of times, especially in pass pro, he was beaten way too quickly. I don't doubt for a moment that they're counting on him being a lot more consistent in both pass pro and certainly in the running game. It will help, and I know I've talked about this a lot, but it will help if he's not battling a back injury from the very first day they put on pads, which is exactly what happened last year. But they're clearly counting on him. You know, the way they touched that contract this offseason would suggest he's here for at least the next two seasons. So he's clearly part of the plan. Let's put it that way. Oh, Bill, that's a good question. Now that 13 personnel is the trend, what is the best defense against it? I'm interested to see how much of that actually ends up on the field, right? I know the NFL certainly went ham as far as drafting, possibly overdrafting tight ends. A lot has been made about what McVay did with 13 personnel last year. Unfortunately, someone else who really leaned into it to good effect was Ben Johnson. And I suspect getting Roush in the draft will probably head them down that path even further. As far as good defenses against it, I'm not going to pretend like I'm some defensive expert, but I will say, make sure you check out Match Quarters. Cody's been doing work on this exact subject pretty much all offseason as far as how defenses are already kind of or were already reacting to it last season. And he's had a number of posts and a number of videos talking about what to expect from teams defensively to combat this trend. So, I'm not going to like pretend like I've come up with this. Like, just make sure you go read and watch Cody Alexander's videos over at Match Quarters. He's been here on Cheesehead TV a number of times as a guest. I am going to have him on later this offseason to talk about Gannon and what they're going to do defensively. Hopefully, as far as we know that Gannon wants to work with the guys he has. So you never really know what the playbook might be, but he's got a history and we know what he likes to lean into. And this is going to be a topic we talk about. So, like I said, I don't want to just pretend like I come up with some genius ideas about how the Packers defense could combat it. Make sure you check out Cody's work and we'll have him on here on the channel in a few weeks. Mike Witt, how you doing, buddy? I just wait to see Soder in that smack jersey on an episode of Happy Hour this season. It's going to happen. I can't wait. And for those of you who are unaware, Soder, our resident Eeyore, has indicated on Happy Hour that if Trey Smack hits his first six kicks of the season, not first six field goals, first six kicks, so they can be extra points as well. First six kicks made, Soder buys a Trey Smack jersey. Can't wait. I am very, very excited. Now, as he's indicating here in the chat, I never said I'd wear it, Mike. We know you're going to wear it, buddy. You have to. Also, speaking of Happy Hour, don't forget, Care of the G Club members, Patreon members, Happy Hours tonight. It's Tuesday. I know it feels like a Monday, but it's Tuesday. Happy Hours tonight. Make sure you check the pages for the respective info going on at 6 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Lambeau time. Hope to see you there. Jeff Jones, thanks so much for the super chat, man. I know it's random, but this is the offseason. Should Todd Rundgren be honored or recognized for his musical contribution to Packers touchdown lore? I'm sure at some point the Packers have thanked him for his contribution. Also, they have to pay for the rights to play that song. He gets paid through publishing. So, yeah, I think enough has been done to let Todd know how much we appreciate him. And don't forget, they play this shit in fucking Cincinnati now, too. So he's getting double billing. God bless him forever. All right, buddy, I'm going to have to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.